Greetings, everybody. How are you? Well, if I bring you greetings from our nation's capital, where it's hot, and Congress isn't there, so that's good. That means they're not doing anything, and they're doing anything when they're there, so it doesn't really matter either way. But it's good to be home. It's been a while since I've been back. So I think it's been since Thanksgiving. And it's also good to, this is a different setting for me. Usually I am asking people to write checks to a particular candidate, and that's a lot harder than this, I would say. And it's also, usually, I don't really get to speak in front of my mother very much, so I'm happy for that. And also, I don't get to speak in front of my brother, who's also here, and his girlfriend, and my godmother, who's known me before I knew myself. So usually I'm speaking in front of folks that have suits on. They're like, okay, so what do we need to do, and why should we support this person? So this is a different feel for me, so I'm happy to be here, and I'm thankful for the invitation. I want to thank Hazel Burgess for putting this all together. I know how tough it is and breathtaking it is to put something like this together and making sure that everybody gets in the right place. And on the drive over, I said to my brother, I'm like, it's 11:05, I guarantee I'll get a phone call in a few minutes because I know how these things are and I'm the same exact way. I also want to thank all the ministers for allowing me to speak. Pastor Carter, Dixon, Grant, Martin, and Wallace for allowing me to, speak here. And I promise you I won't preach because I'm not a preacher. I'm a speaker, so nobody will fall down. I won't tear up any chairs or anything like that, so you're safe. but when I thought about what I would speak about today, I was like, okay, so I have to give a message to graduates. I have to give something that's inspiring, something that will, inspire them to go out and do great things and inspire them to be good people, and when thinking about that, I was like, okay, so this is sort of tough. And I thought about it, and I think about life, especially where I'm at right now, and being that I'm from Florida, I'm a Fort Lauderdale High School graduate. I know that somebody's going to Fort Lauderdale High, go Flying Owls. I was like, so what is it that got me motivated? Thinking about it, I think that life is a race, and in the race of life, it's a long race. But think of it as the Olympics, and you're training for a race. And in doing so, I thought about a scripture that was fitting of training for a race, and only one came to mind: Hebrews 12:1, and it talks about, and it says, "Therefore, since you are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw down everything that hinders us, the sin that easily entangles us, and let us run with perseverance the race marked before us." And so I was like, okay, so that's talking about a race. And then I look at different versions of that scripture, and I found one of the New Living Translation, which I think is more fitting for the graduates. And it says, "Therefore, since you are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of your faith, let you strip off all the weights that slow us down, especially the sin that easily hinders our progress." And I thought of the word progress. And if you go further down in Hebrews chapter 12, in verse 7, it talks about endure hardship as a discipline. And most of the folks in here who graduated a few years back, or 20 years or 30 years ago, they'll tell you that life is hardship. And hardship is a discipline. You have to understand what it is to go through hardship for you to be able to understand what life is. And if you think life is going to be easy, please believe you are incorrect in saying that. And when to further extend, I mean, to sort of capsize that today, I was watching my favorite program, and it tells you how much of a Washingtonian that I am. I woke up this morning at 9 o'clock to watch State of the Union on CNN to see what was happening since I'm away from the city. And an interesting fact came across the news, and it said, the age that is hardest hit by this recession is age 24 to 36. We have the most job losses, and we have the most pay cuts. So that means that the recession is hitting our graduates harder than anybody else, any other age group. We're getting hit the hardest. So hardship in the next few years, no matter what the president does, is going to be something that you have to deal with. And in thinking about hardship, I said you think about life as a race. And usually, as you get ready to line up for a race, how I want to break this down is exactly what happens when you're watching the Olympics. Ready, get set, and go. First, let's talk about being ready. So to set the scene for the race of life, as you graduated, you've closed one chapter of your life to start the new chapter, to start a new race. And remember to take with you the lessons that you have learned, that you've learned from your teachers, that you've learned from your parents, that you've learned from members of this church, because you'd be surprised to find out a lot of things that your parents say are sort of true. And you might not realize that now, but a few years from down the road, you'll realize that. And you'll realize that you'll realize that when your parents tell you things, they're usually right. And it took me a while. I'm 23, and I learned that a year or two ago. So I'm still working with that. But it's true. And also not only that, but remember the training that you have learned. And to break this down, and we have some preschool graduates, some kindergarten graduates, it's mathematics. When you first start, you learn how to add crayons. And from adding crayons, you learn to multiply, then long division. And as you go, as you get older and older and older, and to my college graduates, and I know we have an MBA graduate, you start doing financial derivatives, and you start doing stock and options, you start doing calculus. And if you didn't know how to count crayons, you would never be able to do a derivative. And please believe me, derivatives are not easy by any stretch of the imagination. And I'm an econ major, and I'm telling you, they're not easy. So I say that to say that everything that you do in life is setting up for something else. And so as you're ready, and as you're getting ready for the race of life, you have to remember everything that you've been through. Everything that you've been through has taken you to where you are now. In addition, remember that you have to get set. And before you get set, like I said, remember life isn't easy. And if you don't believe life isn't easy, listen to the radio a little bit. I love Moody, and my mom listens to Moody religiously, but I want some to go to 99.9, which is a country station. And they'll tell you that life is quite difficult, because country is very depressing music. I mean, you know, cowgirls don't cry. I mean, you know, I fell in love with my tractor. The fact that they are, I mean, it really, but in truth of the matter, in all seriousness about country music, it really expresses life, the American life and the American culture. And it talks about the sadness and the depression and the pain that comes with life. And remember, life is never going to be easy. You're going to fall. I mean, and I take it from personal experience, and I'm pretty sure, I know the year before you guys had a great graduate speaker, and the year before you had a good friend of mine as another graduate speaker. And they'll tell you the same things. Life isn't going to be easy. People are going to attack you. You're going to get attacked. No, regardless of what happens, people are going to attack your character, they're going to attack your name, they're going to attack your feelings, and they're going to attack your beliefs. So don't wear them on your sleeve. And they'll attack you in the weirdest way. They'll slander your name, they'll drag your name through the mud. Been there, done that. I mean, the simple fact is it's going to happen. And you have to be prepared for the fact that it's going to happen. And when it does happen, you have to remember that you're not judged on whether they slander your name. You're judged if you get back up again, you see? You have to get back up again, because the essence of life is not falling. The essence of life is getting back up again. And to further extent, you have to envision the ending as you look down that 100 meters or 400 meters that you're beginning to run, you have to envision the ending. And that ending is different for everybody. And graduates and those who aren't graduates, I like to tell people, because I like to, you know, impart knowledge if I can. And one thing that I do that is really helpful for me when it comes to envisioning my future is something called a vision board. I'm a big Oprah Winfrey fan. I got it from her. Whoop, whoop to the O. But she states that you have to envision your future. And so to do that, you create a vision board. You write down all your dreams, long-term, short-term, tomorrow, yesterday, I mean, 10 years from now. You write it up, you write it, you put it on the board, and you just look at it every day. It's almost, and also, if you go through Hebrews, Hebrews is also a book of faith, and it talks about faith is the evidence of things unseen and things hoped for. So you have to hope for the future. I've written checks to myself that I can't cash now. Please believe. Bank of America will bounce that thing so hard. But at the end of the day, I realized that a few years from now, I'll be able to cash those checks. But those checks are written. It's the ideal of manifesting your destiny. Because when you fall, if you don't see what's in front of you, you don't know where you're going, you won't be able to get back up again. You see, getting back up again is because, like, I know I have an extra step to make. I know I have to finish this race. I know I have to finish this course. But in order for you to finish this course, you have to be able to get back up again. And on top of that, be focused, graduates. Be focused on the future. Don't let life stray you away from the future. And it's hard to say now because you're young and you're like, well, if I have all this time to sort of blow off and all of that. But at the end of the day, you have to be focused, because you have to be focused that I'm here today to do a task. I'm here today to accomplish something. Be focused on the future, because when you're focused and you're driven to do it, nobody can stop you. And a good example of that is the President of the United States. He was focused. People never thought that this, you know, this black guy with the middle name of Hussein could ever be President of the United States. Hillary didn't believe it, for sure. Neither did John McCain. But the simple fact is, he was focused. He was focused on the deal that I can do this. The people are behind me. And the people followed behind him because he was focused. He transcended gender. He transcended race because he's like, I'm focused to do that. And you have to be focused on the race of life to do that. You have to be focused to do that. And Oprah summarizes this best in a quote that she says when she says, the choice to be excellent comes by aligning your thoughts and deeds with the intention to require more from yourself, i.e., to be excellent, you have to focus on the dreams and the thoughts that you have to be great. You have to align your thoughts with the idea, you have to align your excellence with the thoughts of greatness, the thoughts of excellence. And in order to do that, you have to be focused in the race of life. And lastly, but not least, you have to, the last thing that the race, the referee or whoever starts the race, I did track for 2 seconds, so I can't tell you. They say go. And when you go, I say pace yourself. A good friend once told me, life is like building a building, and there's floors to this building. So as you are, can all be rising stars, people will give you opportunities. People will say, go do this, you can do it, yes you can. And you'll go and you'll just go up this elevator, and as you go up the elevator, you'll just keep going and going and going, but you don't stop to build the floor that you're on. And so when you fall, the fall is a lot harder, and it's harder to get back up again. So when you get to the first floor, build the first floor. Get to the first floor, put a couch there, put a bed there, get to the second floor, put a TV there, get to the third floor. So as if you fall from the fifth floor and you land on the third floor, at least you're not that bad off. At least you have a TV. I mean, by the end of the day, you have to, life is a progression, it's a step process, but don't skip steps without making sure you've built a foundation on that step to make it to the next step. And also, I'd like to end with a story These are for my preschoolers, but this is a story that everybody knows. It's the story of the tortoise and the hare. And I want to analyze this race because it's a very classic race of life. And at the beginning of the race, the hare walks up and he's like, listen, I know I'm faster than the tortoise. The tortoise is not fast at all. I could win this. I'm just going to go run, have a lemonade at my friend's house. And the tortoise comes in. He's like, well, I'm not sure if I could do this, but I believe I can. Yes, I can do it. Yes, I can achieve it. And he's paced himself. He was slow. He was steady, but he paced himself. And the hare, he started off really fast. He was, you know, just going at it. The crowd, like you said, you're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. And being surrounded by a great crowd of witnesses, the hare is surrounded by all his family, as well as the tortoise is surrounded by all his family. If you go back to the scripture in particular, a theologian just summarizes it saying that the writer of Hebrews is the illusion of the Olympics, and the eyes of the principal countrymen are watching you as they're fixed on the Olympics. Everybody from the village is fixed on the Olympics. And the tortoise and the hare race is very similar in that, and most folks know that. I mean, the Jamaican track team is really good these days, and if you don't believe me, you could ask my mom, because even though she's not a sports person, when the Olympics comes on, she turns into this like huge, the biggest Jamaican fan I've ever seen in my life. And even though Usain Bolt cannot see her because she's thousands and thousands of miles away, she's still cheering him on because the eyes of your countrymen are still watching you. And no matter how far they are, people are watching you from everywhere. And Usain Bolt can't hear my mom screaming, go Jamaica, go. But at the end of the day, the fact that he's being watched by everybody, all of his countrymen are watching him, similar to this race. So all the tortoises and the turtles are out watching and they're cheering on their friend. And as they're cheering on their friend, the hare begins to keep going. And what people think that the tortoise won the race because he endured. But on top of the fact that the tortoise won the race, people forget to realize that the hare lost the race. He lost the race because he grew overconfident. He lost the race because, like, I know I can do this, I know I'm the best, and nobody can stop me. But a lot of times, what you realize in life is that the people who are the most talented and the most competent don't always win. These are people with the most heart. It's the heart that wins the race, you see. And the presidential race is a good example. Hillary thought she had it in the bag. I mean, you know, she went into Iowa and she's like, I didn't win, but I'm going to act like I won. And then she went to New Hampshire and she's like, I won, but I'm still winning. Then she went to South Carolina, she's like, oh, wow, I'm losing. What happened? I mean, that's how life goes. If you think you have it in the bag and you're so sure that you're going to win this, you're so sure that nobody could stop you, in all likelihood, you'll probably lose. But at the end of the day, you have to have confidence in yourself, but you can't grow overconfident because you're going to go through stumbling blocks. You're going to fall. And on top of that, you're going to realize that life isn't as easy as it should be. Graduates, it seems easy now. You get the scholarship money. You know, I'm going to a good school. And then you deal with your first class. And anybody could tell you, when you get to the university level or you get a little bit higher, Cassie could tell you, your first class you go to with 180 people, and you're like, wow. I'm just a number. There's nobody paying me any attention. If I show up late, if my paper's late, I fail. I get a zero. Life becomes hard really quickly. So the overconfidence that you deal with, that you get from home, you take that with you, and you take that support that you have from your home system. But remember that you're going to fall, and it's going to be tough. It's not going to be easy. But the thing about the tortoise is that even though he fell, he had the audacity to get back up again. You see, he had the audacity to, knowing that he was probably faster in water than the hare was, but he had the audacity to get back up again. He had the hope that if I continue running this race, I'll get to the end. I might not win, but I'll finish. What he didn't realize was that he was going to win because the hare grew overconfident. And so I say to you graduates that it's time for you to stand up. Stand up because your family and your parents are waiting on you to stand up. Stand up because your classmates are waiting. Stand up because this church is waiting. Stand up because your community is waiting. Stand up because this state is waiting. Stand up because this country is waiting for us to lead the future. The country is waiting for our age group to pick up the baton and take it to the next generation. The country is waiting for what happened. Right now, our country is waiting for an FDR type of movement. But the only reason why FDR was able to be successful was because he had a group of people, he had a group of citizens that were willing to sacrifice and work hard to make America the place that it is today. So stand up because your country is waiting. Stand up because the president said, I am waiting on everybody to lead with me. We cannot do it alone. The 10 square miles of Washington is not going to solve our country's problems. We are going to solve our country's problems. Stand up because this world is waiting. The world is waiting for leadership. And if you don't believe me, look at all the wars. Look at the fact that we cannot cap an oil spill the size of 5 inches in the Gulf of Mexico. The fact is that the world is waiting for real, true leadership. And we are the leadership that the world is waiting on. So it's time for us to stop saying that tomorrow, we are the leaders today. The world is waiting on us today. And on top of that, God is waiting. And that's most important of it all. Because he's waiting for you to get back up again, because he knows you can. He knows you can get back up again, but you have to believe in yourself that you can get back up again. Because if you don't believe that you can get back up again, then God will still believe you can get back up again, but he wants you to believe, and your life will be hard for you until you know that you can get back up again. And to a further extent, a scripture that I like very much is James 1:1, where it says, "Count it all joy when you fall under various trials and temptations." You see, so when you fall, you have to stand back up again. You have to stand up, graduates. Stand up. Stand up because you have to. Stand up because it's your life goal to stand up. And most importantly, stand up because everybody is waiting for you to stand up. You're surrounded by a cloud of witnesses, and they're waiting on you to stand up. So stand up. That's what I say to you. And I can't repeat it enough because it's important. You have to know that you have to stand up when you fall. I am grateful for this invitation. Like, I promised I wouldn't keep you long. I said I'm not a preacher, so. But I want to thank you all for inviting me. God bless you all. God bless Pioneer Community Church, and God bless America. Thank you.